Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. We had another big week for the Big Ten. And I feel like I was telling you this for a decade, where we have the Big Ten kickoff, and we're going to talk about this here in a little bit once we get through high tempo. But I told you, like, the Big Ten, just based on the markets, where they are, it does, like, the championships at some point don't matter. I feel like the championships are going to catch up, because if you add most of the big money teams like they've been doing, they added Nebraska first, which is a football focused school. Then they add like USC and UCLA. Now they're taking Oregon and Washington. They basically plucked the best football schools out of the Pac-12. And I've been telling you for a while that the Big Ten, that's where you want to be. And so I wonder if my other prediction is going to come true. And it might take, someone told me, I was talking to someone, they're like, well, it's not even going to come close till 2036 for the ACC because people are nervous down here. So they're like, if your prediction comes, you'll be like 80 years old by the time the Big Ten's just the only major conference. And I was like, I don't know if it's actually going to take that long, because it's only been like, what, 10 years now since the first thing happened? But that's our main topic again this week. And we also have the NFL preseason. Let's go ahead and kick it off with high tempo. You got anything for us, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, last week we were talking about the Big Ten and the SEC expanding. And one of the options that I feel like we kind of wrote off was the ACC not losing any teams and just actually expanding out and trying to pick up some of the remaining schools from the Pac-12 or Pac-4, and kind of going in a completely different direction. And I think that may end up being, of all the options, maybe the one that is the most plausible, that they just absorb some of these other teams and try to increase their foothold.
Yeah, and did I definitely miss the beginning of the show here? I actually had my other computer, but I had to travel this past weekend, and I wanted to dedicate this show to our grandmother who passed away last week, Helen Tino. Since our pap, when he died, we dedicated the show to him, so I figured we better dedicate the show to Graham, because otherwise she'll be very disappointed in us.
Absolutely.
And I know, like, she's one of the ones that, like, encouraged us to play, like, multiple sports. And, like, hey, you should do, like, music and recording. Because, like, if I never got into, like, music and stuff, we would never be able to do the show. I would never know how to run any of the audio stuff. But with that, I had a lot of stats, but I took my other computer and I don't have it with me to grab and see. I keep hearing about people talk about the ACC expanding. And maybe they'll grab Stanford. And I'll just say this off the top of the show. Who cares about Stanford? Like, they did this to themselves. Because this entire thing started back in your apartment. We'd be sitting around, like I said, a decade ago, watching college football. And the big movement was supposed to be the Big 12 was falling apart. Whenever this happened, Nebraska went to the Big Ten, and Texas, Oklahoma State, and Texas A&M were supposed to go to the Pac-12. Well, A&M pulled out for whatever reason, and they decided to go to the SEC. So Texas came back, and I think based on the reports, they were supposed to take Texas Tech with them instead. So you would have had a Pac-12, which would have been the first conference to go to 16 teams. You would have had Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State fill that conference out after they had added Colorado and Utah or whatever. And I thought that would have been a great conference. And I think at that point, we would have had four major conferences. The Big Ten would have kept going with like their Maryland, Rutgers. I can't remember the exact timeline. And then I think they would have been able to pluck two more. Like, there are rumors like Kansas was pushing to get out. to get into the Big Ten and possibly the ACC for basketball, I think we would have had four, like 16-team conferences that would have made more sense. But schools like Stanford came out and they said, like, no, we don't want to be in a conference with both Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. We have too much academic stuff going on here. We would have been able to take, we would have made a concession for Oklahoma State and Oklahoma or whatever if you're bringing us Texas and Texas A&M. But with A&M dropping out, we don't want three guys that bring our academic ranking down. So like it's like that snottiness killed their entire conference. Because there were multiple times where like Boise State's been hot. Adam. Like the Big 12 is just adding whatever the hot team is, right? TCU gets hot. Oh, we'll take them. West Virginia. Oh, yeah, we'll take you guys. And it's like it's helped them stay relevant in football because now they're a bunch of schools that are actually good at football. Maybe not. Maybe they don't have an elite team left because everyone's kind of gone. Like Oklahoma, I think, was their major power for the past, what, 10, 20 years with Texas having that one blip back with Vince Young. But the Pac-12 did like nothing. They kept saying like, oh, we're thinking of adding so-and-so, San Diego or whatever, San Diego State. It's like, nah, we don't, we're too much on like the academic snobbery stuff that we're not going to do it. And I think that opened the window for USC to kind of just leave. Because if your conference isn't trying to grow and expand your markets, it's been the same way for 10 years. You have to get into multiple states. The Pac-12 was all right on the coast there. They have no one in the central time zone. That was the entire purpose of getting Texas and Texas A&M and Oklahoma so that you could start your games earlier in the day and have people in a different market. Like Texas is a major state, major market. It would have saved the Pac-12 back then. It would have saved it today if they would have been able to come back. And all four of those teams were still available up until they left to go to the SEC. So if they would have just accepted that offer at some point in the past 10 years and brought in Texas, Oklahoma, that would have kind of balanced out the conferences before USC left. Because then you would have had Oklahoma, USC, Texas, Oregon in that conference to fight like the Alabama, Georgias or whatever, the Michigans, Ohio State, Penn State, Nebraska, and then ACC would have had Florida State, Miami, Clemson, and possibly like Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame, if, at that point, if you go to 16 teams, Notre Dame could have just joined the ACC, right? Because why not? If you're trying to get four conferences to kind of do an 8-team playoff, you would have had the four auto bids or five auto bids. You would have took the highest group of five or whatever, and then you would have had three at large. It could have happened 10 years ago, the playoffs. But for whatever reason, they didn't want it. And now Stanford's the team that's left standing. But I had the travel data, which is the reason I was going on that ramp, on my other computer, where I keep hearing about how it's going to be insane for Oregon to join the Big Ten. They're going to be flying all over. It's not going to make any sense. What about the University of Hawaii? They have no one close to them. They have no rival. They have to travel to every single game. It's not like teams can come in when they go to Hawaii to play. And like when Hawaii doesn't host any home games. Like, yeah, of course they do. But they've made it work for what? Hundreds of years? I don't know how long Hawaii's been around playing sports. And guess what? They're not doing with TV money either. So I looked into their finances and the last number I could find, which I'm going off my head, it was like, Arnaud, did I send it to you? It was like $600,000 a year for all of their sports teams, right? To fly. So I tried to go ahead and find, this is the numbers that I don't have. Let's see. Yeah, they spend $622,000 on travel a year. Less than $1 million. So if the difference from like joining the Big Ten for Oregon, like let's say they were going to get $20 million a year, now they're getting $30 million. How is the travel not going to be made up? Like, what extra travel are they doing? Are they having like luxury flights with Phil Knight on there? Like handing out cocktails? Like, I don't understand. If Hawaii can do it and Hawaii's been able to do it for decades and they're able to keep their expenses under $1 million. They have 19 teams. Oregon only has 18 athletic teams. So they are even having one more team that's traveling. It can be done. And I looked at the distance. It's about the same. These are the numbers that I said I don't have. I don't have the difference from Hawaii to San Diego State, which would have been their closest conference mate. That's the same exact distance as it's going to be for Oregon for their farthest, which I think would be Rutgers, which is almost like the identical. It's like 1,600 miles. So the flight time is going to be the same for Oregon's farthest opponent as it is for Hawaii's closest. So if Stanford wants to join the ACC, it's going to be basically the same as Hawaii. And Stanford has the endowment or whatever. They can do it if they really want to. Now, will their ego allow them to? Because they're begging for the Big Ten. The Big Ten doesn't want them. And it, honestly, I would be glad with them not joining. I think I told you before, right now, the only move I would tell Stanford is we're only taking you if we take Notre Dame. That way they put pressure on them.
Well, and I'm thinking of this too. Like with the additions of Oregon and Washington, it's not like they're coming in receiving the same amount of money as other Big Ten schools. They were pushing to get in, and they agreed to take even less money. And you know, the cynical side of me looks at it like if that's the offer that it takes to bring Florida State and Clemson or Florida State and Miami in, I don't know that I want to go at that rate, because do you really come out that much ahead when you're leaving the conference and you have to pay money out? And then even with the extra money that's coming in from the conference, like you're not going to get, if you're not getting as much of a cut just without your other financial obligations, like I think you're digging yourself into you're cutting your nose off to spite your face, so to speak.
Well, see, that's what made me laugh so hard, is because last year when USC left, remember, the Big Ten had already vetted Oregon and Washington. And I think the report said that the Big Ten told them that instead of getting the $70 million from TV, and remember, this is only for TV, Matt, so they would still get the same payouts or whatever, I think, from the Big Ten. I think it's just the percentage of the TV that they don't get. I could be wrong, but Nebraska had to do it, and so did Maryland, and so did Rutgers. So the only two teams that didn't have to do it so far in like this Big Ten expansion were probably Penn State and USC and UCLA. And the reason they didn't is because they didn't have to pay an out fee for the other conferences. So basically, the Big Ten covered the cost of like Nebraska leaving the Big 12, I think, and they covered Maryland's $50 million for the ACC. And then they were able to just take a lesser cut over so many years. And of course it worked out for them, because you're hoping to be in the Big Ten for the long term. Now, last year, the reports were saying that Oregon and Washington were told that instead of 70, they would have to take between like $40 million, right? So that's the number that they were given. They said like, no, we've been told that we're going to get $50 million for the Pac-12 TV deal, so we don't want to take a lesser deal. We'll stick it out. Flash forward to this year. The Pac-12 TV deal was $20 million. And so that's way less. So now the Big Ten counter offered, and I think the deal that they signed is worth 30. So they just waiting a year and gambling on the Pac-12. Now they're coming in at an even lower rate than what the Big Ten had originally offered, which is so funny to me, because like you had Oregon and Phil Knight flying to Chicago last year. All you had to do was pull the trigger, and maybe this wouldn't have been so drawn out. But because they didn't, and they waited, and the other teams joined the Big 12, I don't know if the Big 12 is making them do that, like take a lesser cut. I don't think that they would, because I honestly think the Big 12 will make more money with the Pac-12 schools in TV. Because I thought that was funny. They were saying like, oh no, the TV networks don't want them to take like Arizona and Arizona State and Utah. It's like, no, they do. Those are solid schools, especially like in basketball. Arizona State's kind of iffy, but they have good like baseball and stuff. So if you're in terms of growing like a network and a conference, it's good to keep some of those rivalries together with Colorado coming in. and getting that stuff back, it's good for TV. Why, like, what? There's no, they're not like bringing in a team that's never been at the top level. You're taking a school from the Pac-12, which are highly regarded, and you're bringing them into a conference of what, for schools that are together to play football, basically, other than Kansas. Now Kansas has a big rival in basketball with Arizona coming in too. So I think it really worked out for them. And you know what's even funnier? Is last year the Big 12 commissioner called the Pac-12 and asked them if they wanted to merge to make the first big super conference. And the Pac-12 told him no. I'd assume Washington and Oregon were part of the no's, right? Like, no, we don't want to do that. But it, yeah, would have saved Washington State. It would have saved Oregon State. It would have saved Cal, and it would have saved Stanford. So now if those four schools don't get left behind, people are saying like, oh, Washington State's so broke. Why? Why are you broke? It's because you don't have donor support or fan support helping you pay. Because everyone keeps saying, well, they were lied to by the conference, and they've been spending money they thought they were going to get. But how come the other schools aren't really in that much trouble? Because they know they have donors and fan support that's going to help pay it off if something else happens, where Washington State probably doesn't. So maybe they do need to cut down a level, right? I'm not calling them out, because I think like even now, the Big 12 was saying like, maybe we would work something out for like Oregon State too, to try to get us to match the Big 10. And I think that proactive, I like that mindset of being proactive is going to help them survive. Because if you have 18 schools that are afraid of being left behind, eventually the Big Ten and the SEC are going to run out of spaces. We're starting to see that now. I've been saying it the entire time. ESPN's losing money. How are they going to keep paying for these teams? Like, the SEC is the one that I don't know is if they're going to be able to expand to match. Because if they do, I would bet that they're going to have to either have the team coming in take a lower payout, like you were saying. Would Florida State want to do that? Is it worth taking a lower payout to then even earn less money taking the SEC TV deal, which is only worth $50 million, Matt? Because like, let's say if Florida State gets the same deal that Oregon got for the SEC, where instead of taking 50, you're only getting 30 for 10 years or something. Like, is that really worth it? You'd make that in the ACC probably.
Yeah, I mean, that I think at that point it almost becomes a, do you feel like you bet on yourself?
The Big Ten one's different, though, because theirs is shorter. It's $70 million. They're locking up even more major markets. So the next time they go, right now, I think the last projection I saw is like, last time they were rumored to try to get around 100, but they never really expanded. And now they're set at like $70 million a team. The last one I saw was like a projection. Now it's like 105 to 120 million per team, which is probably going to end up on the lower. It's probably be like 100 million because I don't think the TV deals are going to keep going. But they do have three conferences or three networks bidding on them. And if ESPN wants to throw their hat back in the ring, now the Big Ten with having the late market, what if ESPN wanted to bring back like the Pac-12 after dark and they decide, you know what? We liked having that on ESPN or ESPN2, whatever it was, Pac-12 network. Let's go ahead and pay the Big Ten some extra to get some of those Pac-12 games. Because now you're not even having the fluff. You would just have the West Coast team, like Oregon or whatever, playing at midnight against, like, who knows, could be like a Wisconsin that might have implications at some point. Which I think would be a great deal for them. Because they're not going to have that with the SEC. You're not going to talk a team into kicking off at midnight in the SEC.
When you look at the Big Ten and the Pac-12, there's history there too. Because going back, like, you always had those Rose Bowl matchups that a lot of times were featuring two of the bigger schools. That it's not outside the realm of possibility of saying absorb in the remaining Pac-12 schools. And just continuing to build on, you have those rivalries from the Rose Bowl days, and where they were taking the Big Ten and Pac-12 champions and having them play in the Rose Bowl.
That's why I sent you that joke schedule where it's like, oh, I know what Michigan's schedule is going to be. They're going to be like, well, you guys should probably play Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA and Nebraska and Penn State and Ohio State and then Michigan State. That's your good schedule for you. While Ohio State, they got to keep their regional rivals like the Illibuck alive, play Illinois and Indiana and Rutgers and Maryland. That's exactly what's going to happen too. They're going to screw it. Where it's like Michigan has all these histories. We better have them play the top teams.
Well, yeah, that's why. I could see it conversely. Just be like Harbaugh. Be like, no, I want all these guys. I want to play them all.
Well, the crazy thing is, they're going to have to do redo the schedules. But I honestly wouldn't mind. And I keep talking about like at some point, like where they were before with 18, you couldn't really do pods. I didn't really mind the way the schedule was, like how it was right now. Where they have like the projected rivalries, but if they are able to add Stanford in, because then it gets tricky. Because if you add Stanford and Cal, you have six teams out west. You can't do pods because one of those teams is going to be screwed, and like they're going to end up in a pod with like Nebraska and Iowa and Wisconsin or Minnesota or something. But if you only add one, if you add Stanford and like Notre Dame. Then you could do like a regional pod, which I think right now a lot of the talking heads keep complaining about travel. If you do a regional pod and keep it not just for football, but you use it for scheduling for other sports where like you play everyone in your pod in like basketball and tennis or whatever. And then like for soccer, who cares if you play anyone anyway, everyone, right? Because their NCAA is going to have like three Big Ten teams, four Big Ten teams make the NCAA tournament for soccer. Same with like softball and baseball. Just do it in like schedule and pods where you do a home and away with everyone that's in your region to cut down on travel. And then every year you play the teams from the other pod. So like, oh, this cycle, we're going to do like the Midwest or like the East Coast with like Penn State and Rutgers instead of trying to do like a zipper like they were trying to do it. And then that way, yeah, you're going to have to fly to the other conferences, but you're going to keep the regional rivalries alive. And one year in football, you might have a division that includes Oregon and USC and Michigan and Ohio State. And then the other side has like Nebraska and Iowa and Penn State or whatever, and hopefully like Florida State and Notre Dame or something. But if they only add two, like you're hoping that they add Notre Dame to help balance them out a little bit, because you really don't want to have like one Eastern pod with Penn State and like Rutgers and Maryland and Indiana and Purdue or something. Because I don't think they want to split up Michigan and Ohio State. You could put Michigan State with Penn State. And maybe have that, but you probably want to try to separate them so that there's two good teams in each area. Oregon and USC. Nebraska and then like Iowa and Wisconsin, because I don't think they're like as high. Then like Ohio State and Michigan and then like Michigan State and Penn State right now. If they add like Notre Dame, that gives you a little bit more flexibility depending on where they want to play. But I don't know. I feel like they're trying to go national. I've even seen some talking heads say like, hey, they should reach out to Texas A&M. Yeah, that's what I've been saying, right? Get into the Texas market. Because then you're trying to build not only a conference, I also saw that they made like $10 billion in that Big Ten Academic Alliance thing, which is separate from the AAU, right? Someone was talking about that being a selling factor for like Stanford, saying that they wanted to be a part of that because it would help their academic side. And that was how Stanford was trying to like smooch their way into the Big Ten with Cal. Because like, yeah, of course they want to bring Cal with them. Because like, could you imagine if they left them behind? It'd be funny. But like Cal's not running their athletic department good. So just forget them. That's why I think the SEC long-term is screwed. Who are they expanding with? There's no West Coast teams that they can take now. Because if you take the teams that were left behind, they're very clearly the second or third team in each state. Or like in California, you're like taking the fourth pick, right?
I mean, I guess it makes sense if the SEC picks them up just to have like the recruiting relativity to it. But I also think the SEC has produced so much that I don't know that they expand. Like I think that they're probably comfortable now sitting where they are and not expanding further. Because you made the earlier point, I don't think that financially they can afford to pay out more schools, and I just don't think that there's the type of, I mean, with the exception of like an independent like Notre Dame being willing to exclusively go to SEC, I'm sure they would every conference would open their doors to take them in because of the fan base, but other than that, like I would be shocked if they're expanding.
Well, even with the ACC, so the way the ACC network was set up, each school funded their own television production studio stuff, right? So they own that. That's not like ESPN coming in and owning it. I think the Big Ten's kind of the same, where like you pay in to the Big Ten network. But with them expanding, the one thing that the SEC doesn't really have, and maybe they do have it set up like in school or whatever, but if cable continues to go away, the next big thing is going to be having your own conference streaming network, like Big Ten or whatever, would kind of just break off where you wouldn't have, it wouldn't come with your cable anymore. You would just pay 10, 20 bucks a month for the Big Ten network. They'd probably like tier it so that like you pay for football season, like the NFL network, and then you would get it for the rest of the year for like basketball or whatever. So like you pay like three times or whatever, or just be like a one-time fee for the year. And right now with the SEC, the Big Ten has more alums. They have larger metro areas. So they have more fans. The SEC is kind of more regionalized. I really don't see a way for them to kind of make up that next revenue gap. Because someone from the Big 12 was saying, like, how is even Texas's numbers going to be affected? Where before, Texas TV numbers were always strong in Texas because they're playing three or four other teams from Texas. Now, are the casual fans in Texas going to tune in to watch them play Ole Miss or someone? Maybe not. Because, like, you had alums from Houston, or I guess Houston wasn't even in the conference yet, but like you have from Lubbock, Texas, or like the Dallas area when they played TCU, like there might have been a bigger uptick because you actually have alums from those schools that are tuning and watching. And now,
I also think like with Texas, though, Texas showed that when they're winning and they're competing on a national stage, that they drove the Longhorn Network. And like really was able to earn themselves a big chunk of change. But the thing is, they've been a middle of the road football program now for how long, despite throwing all that money into it, that they're not getting anything out. So they're just, I mean, it's almost like the same boat that Texas A&M is. Like they paid a lot of money to get Jimbo Fisher. They're paying for all this stuff for their stadium and their facilities and everything, but they're not, like they're not even clearing the SEC. So how do you make that claim for being the national brand of taking that next step when you're not even being competitive within your conference?
Well, the Longhorn Network is kind of interesting to me because I don't know if they got that based on merit or if they got that based on perceived brand of like Texas is so strong, we should have just a network of them. And it was more arrogance on them and like ESPN. Where ESPN was like, we're going to have Texas be our Notre Dame, right? And that was a complete failure. Like, ESPN was ready to, like, they're both agreed to just cut the cord and, like, just join the SEC. That was the entire reason the Big 12 was falling apart, is because ESPN was letting Texas know, like, we're not doing the Longhorn Network anymore. Like, no one watches it. It sucks. So, like, there's nowhere for them to go. That's why I think having, yeah, a great subset of even like the SEC right now, you have 5 or 6 schools that are like great schools that have a lot of fans. If you put that into one network that was kind of like the Texas Longhorn Network or whatever, is that going to be enough to make up what the other conference has, where you're crossing the entire United States now? You're in New York, you're in Chicago, you're in LA. You have some of the biggest alumni networks in the world all in one conference. I think you're going to have a better chance of like random people like me that are willing to pay that and say, you know what, that's going to be my like sports budget. Like it's cheaper for me. Like what the NFL Network end up being like $300 or something. It's cheaper for me than to just pay and watch every Michigan game for whatever. And it could even be an add-on too, because we don't know what it's going to look like. So maybe it's part of Amazon Prime. Like they put in a bid for the Big Ten. So did Apple. What's the other one that does extra streaming? Now I can't think of who else put in their bid. But like you would get it on top of like whatever you have, kind of like NBC is going to do with Peacock anyway, where, oh, where you pay for Peacock $5, but then you can add on the Big Ten Network for $10 a month. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Where with ESPN, they're kind of still split and juggling it. And that's the only reason I could see them trying to keep Florida State and Clemson kind of tied in, but you're still not breaking out into new states. And that's going to be the difference. Like how many, even if you add Florida State at some point, like the casuals, you're going to have a better chance if you add like UNC and the Tar Heels and get into an entire new state and try to get people up here to pay for the SEC Network. Cause right now, like they don't, like no one really watches it around here. I don't think it's on like most of the stuff. You get it kind of with your ESPN package, but like I've never seen it like on at the bars where you go out and you just have the SEC Network on. I have seen the Big Ten Network on because a lot of alums from up there move down like me, and you're like, hey, pop on that Big Ten Network. I want to watch us play baseball. I've seen that at the bars. I've never seen the SEC Network on at the bars around here. I usually see the ACC Network and then like some random, hell, I see random soccer from like, what's that thing? Univision? Is that what that TV channel is? That's in Spanish. So like, that's the one where I see that around here. And of course, like I'm right outside Raleigh. So I'm close enough to UNC and Duke and NC State where of course that's going to be the predominant. Maybe if I'm in Charlotte, maybe I would see the SEC Network more when I go out. But typically, yeah, I see like main ESPN, and then maybe like some ACC Network or like I said, the Big Ten Network, because there are a lot of like northern bars down here. Like there's Steelers bars everywhere.
Now, I got a dumb question for you.
Yeah.
Like I know you were talking about like regional schools and things like that. How much does that even matter anymore with as much digital access as you're having to a lot of these schools? Like, does it matter that you're having that in-school rivalry or something like that? Because if you're able to watch, like years ago, it was like you wanted to have those regional matchups because they were close to home and things like that. But like, how much of that even matters now? Because if you're watching whatever school that you're following, like you could follow a West Coast school a lot easier, like we did with Mike Leach when he was at Washington State, where it was like we would stay up to watch those games to see how they were doing and following them because of that connection to the Pirate.
Well, see, that's the one thing where Washington State keeps posting the numbers of how they used to be the most watched and like at these like later time zones, and we've been on record saying like, yeah, we were two of the people that are watching those games because Mike Leach is a coach. He's not the coach anymore. That's why the numbers have fallen off. They like tried to blame it on like COVID or whatever. That's not the reason why they fell off and never came back.
Well, they 100% fell off because they had Rolovich who followed them, and there was still a level of interest because he was still willing to run the more traditional run and shoot.
And they pushed him out, didn't they?
And then because of COVID and his vaccine status, they pushed him back out.
So I think the big key is going to come down to, like with regionalized stuff, I think there's like a negativity towards it, where, and I think it's kind of like the arrogance of the TV networks where they think, oh, we got the biggest school in the state, like we're good. And that's kind of where I'm like worried, because like I honestly don't think if you didn't grow up in Texas and you like went to TCU in Dallas, and TCU has to drop down a level because like the Big 12, like something happens and they get left behind, I don't think you're just going to start cheering for the Longhorns, right? You might have like an affinity for a school that you kind of grew up with, maybe your parents went to, but like we know a lot of people that went to Pitt or have Pitt connections. Is it really going to be a jump for them to be like, yeah, I'm going to start cheering for Penn State? Like, I find that hard. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You grow up hating Penn State. If Pitt gets left behind, you're either just going to start tuning out, you like, or like you'll just keep following just Pitt. And that's what I hear like Washington State fans say, like, yeah, I'm not going to just start cheering for Washington. Are you insane? Like, why would I do that? And that's what I think makes college football special. That's why I think there's always going to be, it's not going to be a lower level. I think they would be really stupid and short-sighted to have just the Big Ten and the SEC play a Super Bowl-type matchup. I think you need to have the regionals have access to the playoffs, and that's why I keep bringing up the NCAA tournament. Because they let however many smaller conferences and teams join up, they might have to play a play-in game to get in. But there's at least one team that kind of breaks through, and you do see some move on. Like Loyola Chicago made the Final Four. You don't know if like a Boise State's going to be able to make a run, or hell, like an App State. I think to me, the key team that finally broke through is Central Florida, UCF, because they have everything negative that we've been hearing for 10 years is going to see if it can happen. Like, oh, they're a directional school. They should never be invited because no one's going to watch a team called Central Florida. Like, that's very specific. I've said to break that stigma, they should just rebrand as the University of Orlando. Like, I've been on record saying that. Like, you have the LA schools, you have Miami. Like, if that's the negativity on your school, just rebrand, right? But they finally make it through. The key difference is they're like one of the biggest, if not the biggest school in the state. So when it comes down to streaming, like you're saying, they're gonna have people paying to watch them if they're still like competing towards like a national championship because of that. Does it benefit them to play Florida State or Florida? Like, maybe not. They really haven't ever played them, right? Their rivals have been like East Carolina and other directional schools. And now East Carolina is one where, yeah, they have a fan base. They have a good alumni base. Could they be left behind? Or maybe they'll be backfilled and they'll end up in some version of the Big 12 because the SEC and the Big 10 to gobble up 50, 60 teams or something. And then the Big 12 gobbles up 30 teams himself. And then everyone, like you have most of the teams in three conferences. Maybe that would happen. And UCF's back to playing them. I don't know. Maybe UCF eventually gets gobbled up by the SEC. That's where it's kind of like, to me, the Big Ten, yeah, you could add Florida State right now. I think it would be suicide for Florida State to join the SEC. They haven't been competing since Jimbo. This year, they come in with a lot of hype. They better win and take that next step, because if not, you don't want to fall further behind and then try to jump into the SEC where teams are already established. And then, because then you're getting a guaranteed loss from like a Georgia and a Bama or whatever, and then you're going to kind of be in Texas A&M land where, well, we came in behind the sticks and we're still behind the sticks 10 years later, right? It's not like Florida State's coming off a national championship and have a bunch of people returning and then they would be jumping to the SEC, right? They're like a little bit behind. They're trying to make that next step up. That's the same thing with Clemson. They got to be careful. They're a few years removed from their playoff success. Those guys are in the NFL now.
But don't go telling recruits that, because we just signed the number one safety, 5-star.
So you don't want that. You don't want those guys coming in, because you still need the depth. I think I saw ESPN updated their thing. But right now, Georgia has the most top 300 recruits. And then the three teams tied for second are Michigan, Oregon, and LSU. So you're basically having two from the SEC and two Big Ten teams vying, plus, you know, Ohio State's like right behind them and probably Alabama, right? So like you have, let's say, three from each conference, the top, or getting the top recruits. It's going to be really hard for these other schools to make up. Does getting a regional matchup going to get a rivalry? I think having that matchup is good for the sport. I see no reason why they can't continue it. Like, Iowa plays Iowa State, no matter what the Big Ten does. Yeah, Iowa State's probably considered like a little bit of a down team. But if Washington wanted to play Washington State, even if they're considered a little bit of a down team now, what's stopping them? I think you see some like negativity from schools that were kind of left behind where they're like, we're not going to play you anymore. And I think it's bad for the sport and they're kind of hurting themselves. Right?
Yeah.
If Washington State continues to play Washington and they beat them 8 out of 10 years, right? People are going to be laughing at the Big Ten. And then maybe the SEC says, well, maybe we should grab Washington State. They've been kicking the shit out of the Big Ten teams, you know? That's how you can make the jump up. If Pitt were to play Penn State and Pitt's like kind of left behind in the ACC or whatever happens to that, and they beat Penn State like 8 years in a row, people are going to kind of perk up and say like, all right, well, maybe the SEC should just nab Pitt then. Because I think that's how some of these smaller teams that people are like, well, they don't have a full stadium. They don't have XYZ alumni base or whatever. Even like with the largest, like looking through the list is kind of right here. The top five are, I don't know what if this is in order or what, because it's kind of weird the way they have this. But like Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Texas are like five of the biggest like alumni slash other groups. Because the reason I was kind of skeptical is Notre Dame doesn't really have a big alumni group, I don't think. But they have more casual fans. So, like, I don't know if that's considering, like, Catholic groups or whatever. But, like, I know Penn State and Michigan are always claiming that they have the biggest. And they kind of go back and forth. So, the Big Ten has, like, all these large alumni bases. Where the other schools don't. And, like, even, like I said, like, Florida State doesn't even have the biggest incoming class in, like, their own state. Heck, Michigan doesn't even. Michigan State has more people coming in. So like you can say like that's a little brother school, but at some point it's going to reach a tipping point where there becomes more Spartan fans just based on how many people are getting pushed through their system, right? Pitt can never make that up. Penn State has how many campuses, right? Like I don't think there's any way Pitt can just be like, you know, we're going to be the most popular. Down here, I think.
But Pitt has some of those branch campuses too. I mean, they're in that similar vein.
And yeah, they do. But I just mean in terms of like whatever the total number is, it's not as high. I'm trying to see if they have like an actual list, because like that's where like whatever, like I think NC State right now has the most, like at 35,000. I think UCF's like at 50,000, right? So if I'm gambling on the future, yeah, NC State or UNC at 30,000 get us into a new state. But like UCF's way bigger. Let's see what Pitt versus Penn State is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure like, yeah, Penn State has like 88,000 total. Pitt has 33,000. So like it's not even close. Like there's no way for Pitt to make that up. Because, well, like, they have, like, how many campuses, dude? My only thing is, like, for Penn State, like, their number is gigantic. Because, like, I don't even think Michigan's is that. I think it was, like, 40 or something like that. So, like, if Penn State wants to keep plunking through all these people, eventually they're going to have so many numbers that, like, it would be dumb for the Big Ten to kind of do it. That's why I'm surprised, like, the ACC, they could have cut all this off way back when if they would have just had the Joe Paterno conference thing. With like the Big East, or if the ACC were able to lure them instead of the Big Ten. Like if the ACC would have been able to grab Florida State and Penn State back in the day, I don't think there's any way that like even Maryland leaves. Because why would they?
Yeah.
Penn State was the big key turner. I think it by getting them and their large alumni base, and powering them with Michigan and Ohio State, they pretty much solidified the Big Ten as one of the top, if not, I mean, right now, the top money-making conference in the country. And if they would have went to the Big East or they would have went to the ACC, I think some of that power would have shifted. Maybe Notre Dame would have been able to save the Big Ten if they would have joined with like Ohio State and Michigan while Penn State went to the ACC, maybe. But you can't underestimate Penn State's numbers, dude. They're ridiculously big. Because I think even their main campus, Penn State has 40,000, while Pitt has like 20,000. So it's like half. Pitt just doesn't have as many campuses because Penn State's are like all over the place. And that's where I'm almost wondering too, with a lot of these smaller schools and things, at some point, this is a prediction on my part, with the way everything's going digital and remote, maybe there's only going to be one or two school systems in the state. Like, they just get eaten up. Like, the smaller schools just keep getting bought out and they just become Penn State Campus X or Pitt Campus X.
Well, and you definitely see that with like the Division II schools, because a lot of them are already trying now to combine, and they're offering programs across, you know, three or four different campuses, and they're all under the same, like, they're doing it like a consortium where you're signed up at school A, but you can also take electives from school B or school C to try to broaden the pool of applicants to get students there.
Yeah, because they do that cross state here, because like I joked around with you about like one of the PhD programs goes to like Indiana State, and that's where Larry Bird played, and people think my dad looks like Larry Bird. So I said I could follow my dad's footsteps and get a random Indiana State University degree. But like, to me, if Indiana State just became part of like Indiana University, would outside people outside of the state even know they exist? Like, we know they exist because of Larry Bird. But, like, if Larry Bird didn't play there, I would have no idea that Indiana State was a thing.
Yeah.
That's where, like, some people were saying, oh, Cal might just drop athletics. And maybe they do. But, like, looking back in history, University of Chicago, they were one of the Big Ten powers with Michigan back in the day. And they dropped athletics because they didn't like the way it was going. I don't care how successful they've been, like, on the academic side. I guarantee they regret that decision now. Because how many people do you hear ever talk about Chicago? No one. Even like random people that are like talking about applying. You apply to the Ivy Leagues and then they like apply to like other big schools around, like if they're going to try to get to the top. I never hear someone say like randomly like, yeah, no, I want to maybe go to Chicago. I've heard people say they want to go to Northwestern or something. But, like, I honestly never hear anyone say that they want to go to the Chicago. And, I don't live, like, in that direct area. So, maybe it's a little bit more prevalent, like, in the state. Like I said, knowing people from, like, the Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania area, you would think that they would, like, there would be some interest in going to that university. And it is smaller. But, like, I guarantee that they regret leaving the Big Ten. Maybe they don't because they're arrogant. But like Stanford now, like their arrogance has to be hurting them. Because even if they join the ACC, does that give Florida State an out? Someone said down here that it doesn't.
I would think it probably doesn't.
Because they're not giving Florida State their rights back, or they're not renegotiating. I think there's a clause in there that says like if they add teams, they just have to sign away their granted rights too. Which, if you're the ACC and trying to survive, honestly, I see no reason why you wouldn't try to get bigger. Because right now, the thing that's hurting the ACC is they don't have big alumni networks because a lot of their schools are small and private. Right?
Yeah.
Why not try to get Cal then? Maybe Cal's not as big. But even then, like, try to expand by bringing in other teams to increase your fan size. Yeah, you're not going to be able to lure. Like, they've talked about trying to lure, like, West Virginia. And, I mean, like, West Virginia is the one where, potentially, with all the money issues in that state, I could see, like, maybe Marshall. I don't know if Marshall's public, but like I could see a lot of the West Virginia, like other universities there, just become part of the West Virginia system, and you just have one university system there that's public. Yeah, there are going to be some privates, like Duke wouldn't go away in this idea, but like ones like UNC Wilmington, like down here, I think they would just become like UNC. NC State's part of that, so I don't know how that's going to work. I think Arizona's kind of the same way they were saying, where they share the same board. And when Arizona was trying to get to the Big 12, the Arizona State Athletic Director said, like, oh, I think we're good with the Pac-12 number. And the board said, like, have you not heard what we've been saying from the Arizona side, you idiots? It's not a good number. And then Arizona State kind of came back and was like, a lot of their fans and like alums pushed back at the board meeting and was like yelling at the AD saying he was like an idiot. Because like he was just content to stay with the Pac-5 or whatever it would have been. Which would have been the weirdest thing if they're like sharing a board. And they're like, no, did you not hear what we're presenting? We're going together. Like, we don't want you to die. The Big 12 wants you guys. You're coming. Like, what are you doing? Like, they're like giving them a life raft, and their AD and president were like, no, we're good. We're good where we are. Like, like as Titanic's going down, you're like, yeah, I'll just stay here. I don't need a raft. It'll be all right. Is that an iceberg in frozen water? Not a big deal. I'll be okay. But yeah, that's the one thing where you're going to the future. I feel like the 15th deadline is what, about a week away. I feel like we're going to have 3 weeks hitting on this. And, I mean, honestly, it's been pretty popular. So, thanks for the downloads. And I think a lot of my thoughts are still the same. I haven't heard anything come back from what I said about Florida State might having an out. Based on distribution, I haven't seen that reported anywhere yet, so we'll see if that ever comes out. Maybe my source was wrong. I have no idea. Someone else said that they could just sue based on like state sovereignty laws or whatever. I think that's what it's called. But they really don't want to get into that, because then ESPN's going to kind of write that into their contract next time and offer them way less money.
Yeah.
Because if you can just break a contract and like sue them based on the state, they're not going to want to do business with you. And then I think that would just piss everyone, like, especially if they sign with the SEC and ESPN, like try to negotiate and they're like, yeah, but you guys brought in Florida State and they screwed us last time. So we're not offering you that much money. Like, I think then everyone's going to hate Florida State. Right. So I don't think they can really play that card. I think they have to negotiate the buyout, and they did hire JP Morgan. I think, did you see that?
No.
So Florida State hired JP Morgan, and they're trying to see if it's legal for them to bring in outside donors to pay the buyout for the ACC, which would be funny because someone was saying, like, didn't the Saudis buy like LIV Golf or whatever? Like, what if Florida State just became like the Florida State Saudi Arabian Seminoles? Just like, like, they just have everything for sale. Like, what's the guy, like, Chief Osceola or whatever? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Like, they could just have, like, Osceola brand cheese sponsor him. He, like, comes out throwing, like, rings of cheese into the stands. It's just, like, one big corporate thing. They just have ads all over their jerseys. It's like, hey, there's Florida State joining the Big Ten. Sponsored by, or, like, whatever. It's just kind of like how Michigan State had, like, Rocket Mortgage on everything, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, the Michigan State Rocket Mortgage Spartans. It's like Florida State Saudi Arabian Seminoles. That'd be hilarious. I'd be laughing so hard. If, well, that's what it takes to get out.
And I almost wonder if that's part of the hang up too, that if there's anything going forward with Florida State, that a lot of the stuff that they have to do has to be approved by the Seminole tribe, if there would be any hang up with that.
I don't know. I think it comes down to, like you were saying, in terms of the buyout, and then if they get lesser money. Because, like, I could see the Big Ten saying, like, all right, you guys got to pay $30 million. We'll cover it for you. But then for 10 years, you're gonna take $30 million less or whatever. So instead of getting 70, you're getting 40. Like, I think that could be a thing, a path to kind of get out of it. without having to raise the capital. But like you said, do you want to really be paying, like taking that gamble? Because you would still be making $10 million more than you would in the ACC. But the Big Ten's kind of just skimming off the top and paying the ACC for you. Now, if they're able to kind of raise that and somewhere they don't need that assistance from the Big Ten, maybe the Big Ten does give them full shares. And instead of them paying the ACC back, they're just paying some investment group like JP Morgan or whatever. I think that's who they said. Is that the bank? Maybe it's, is it? Yeah. I think that's what it's called. So like, yeah, they're paying the bank instead of the ACC, which do the semantics really matter? Who they're paying?
Oh, when it comes to that legal stuff, 100% yes.
But in terms of just like the general overall, like they're still going to have a lesser amount. The idea is that over time, if you're making in that same 10-year span, if you're making, because like they're locked in, and it's not, it's like what, 13 years? So you're locked in not even just for 10 years. I guess until they got out, it would probably be about 10 years. But they're saying like, if even if you're only making $10 million more in the Big Ten, over 10 years, that's $100 million more that they've made than they would have if they stayed with the current GOR in the ACC. Because there's really no way for it to go up. And the key thing, too, is the Big Ten is going to be renegotiating in that same time window again, which is insane. So that $10 million, by year seven, it could become $30, $40 million difference. And now you're getting your share or whatever. Then you're starting to get into full shares, and it doesn't matter. Because then the Big Ten has a national conference they can sell that's like, hey, we're the number one TV conference. Yeah, sure, we play these other smaller teams or whatever. And if their rivals like Florida State could still play Miami, if Miami doesn't get the call, maybe Miami goes to the Big 12 or something, where Florida State's like, yeah, we still play them. When it's home, it'll be on one of the Big Ten network channels. So you still have that regional rivalry going. It just really won't count for the Big Ten. And maybe, again, you'd meet in the playoffs. Because you see it in college basketball. I just think it would be more of like an exhibition type thing. Think of like the preseason like tournaments. I think the Big Ten would be smart to have some of the rivalry games at the beginning of the year. Because like if Pitt beats Penn State, in the grand scheme of things, if they beat them once every 4 years, like Iowa State beats Iowa, it doesn't really matter. Like it doesn't knock down the perception of Iowa. What was like the Brad Banks year where they lost Iowa State, then they still went like 11-1.
Yeah.
Did it matter? They still like ranked fourth in the country. They would have made the playoffs that year. Right. So the Big Ten schedule pumps you back up. But I think having that early year, like that early conference, like rivalry game, kind of gets your team ready against a team that's going to be pumped up to play you, that you should still have the talent advantage over. And it's good for TV. Like I consider it to be like the early basketball tournaments. Where you're playing the top teams. If you lose, it's not a season ender. If you win, then you feel good, and you can feel good about your team coming in. Kind of like the old Michigan-Notre Dame games where whoever won is like, yeah, they won the September National Championship, and then they'd both like drop three games for no reason. People be like, damn. ESPN had them in the top five. What are we talking about here? But... that's all. I feel like we're going long on college again. The NFL preseason, my only beef that I wanted to bring up is that like they talk so much about Aaron Rodgers and how he's going to be playing, what's Zach Wilson going to do? Aaron Rodgers played like nothing in that Hall of Fame game. And I get it, football's back, but like none of the starters really played. So like, to me, I wish there was more like transparency, because like I had a family member at the funeral. I was like, hey, did you watch any of the preseason football? I was kind of confused because like some, like the people they said weren't, that were going to play, like they didn't play. I was like, yeah, like I don't understand why they hyped it up like a Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson thing. Because neither of them played. Like, why not advertise like Zach Wilson redemption? Like, it's not like they didn't have storylines. Or I like DTR when he was at UCLA. And I think Chip Kelly really blew an opportunity with him, and he looked great for the Browns, right? So having him come in and play lights out, I think he was like at one point 10 for 13 or something like that, and he had a touchdown. Maybe I'm wrong on the stats, but he came in on fire at the end of that game and led them, the Browns, come back. Maybe the NFL wasn't prepared for that, so they didn't want to hype him up. But now, like next week, if he's going to be playing the bulk of the snaps, That's who they should advertise. I don't want to hear one thing about Deshaun Watson if he's playing one series, right? Because that's part of like the NFL's like NFLPA. If I were them, they talk about how these like a lot of the players get cut. A lot of the rookies aren't getting cut, right? Because they brought in to play. Like maybe they're not going to play so much this year, but now's the time to start hyping them up. We're like, hey, we got it. Like the Packers last year had like Watson and like the big receiver group. Hype them up. Don't talk about like Aaron Rodgers last year because he didn't even really play in the preseason. So like now's your time to kind of get people familiar with some of the new guys coming in to the league, especially with running backs when you have so much negativity. Why not hype them up a little bit in the preseason if they're going to be carrying the ball 30 times in the game? That way when I'm watching, at least I know who to look for, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So that's the only thing that I wanted to talk about. I watched a game. It was a good game. I thought it was going to be a dud. Zach Wilson came out. He threw that one long ball. It looked like it was spot on. And I thought this could be a great situation for him because he can learn from Aaron Rodgers. But in all honesty, I forgot he was there. I heard so many jokes about Aaron Rodgers being in the dark room that it blew my mind that I almost forgot about Zach Wilson because I'm like, everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers going to his like dark place. And then who was the guy? Was it Tony Dungy or whatever? One of his players was getting into, was it Barber? Rondae Barber?
Yeah, Rondae Barber. Because Mike Tomlin helped put him in.
I don't know if you saw this, but on the pre-show, I think it was, he was talking about like thanking Tony Dungy. And he obviously went off script because he like was hugging him. And he was like, I'm just so glad you can be here with me, coach. And the other guy just cuts him off. It was like, well, all right, well, let's get back into whatever else. And they started talking about some other fluff. Because, like, obviously, Rondae was supposed to be, like, thanking other people. But because Tony was there, they were, like, hugging each other. And whoever, whatever it was, at NBC or whatever, they did not like it. And it made me laugh. Because I'm like, they're having a real moment here. This could, like, help humanize it. Like, obviously, this is the player and the coach, right? He was, like, he said, he told some story about how he was, he got invited into the linebacker room and he thought, or maybe he was a linebacker. He got invited to the safety room, like whatever it was. I can't remember which order it was, but he thought like, shit, I'm getting cut. Like they're asking me to play this other position at practice, which is the next step for me being cut. And then Tony Dungy's like, no, we're going to actually create a new position for you. So you have to learn two positions and then you're going to play nickel. Or whatever. That was a story that they told. And then he just went with it and was like, and that's the only reason I'm here, coach, or whatever. And then he's like, I'm so happy that like if everyone that I'm right on the field with you. And then they're like, oh, we're gonna cut it right here. Meh, not having this. We can have 100 fake stories on whatever, like pre, but I think because he was going off script, they were like worried that he was gonna say something wrong or something. I don't know. Like what you think he's gonna start swearing? I have no idea. Like, it was like so weird the way they cut it. It was like, instead of all those pre-manufactured, like cookie cutter things that they throw like on College Game Day of yeah. Like, oh, it's a sad story. It's like, here's one of like a guy going out of his element and trying something new and he revolutionized the game and he's thanking the coach that's right there. It's a made for TV moment. And they were like, nah. Like, I wonder who was the production guy. Next time, you know how they do that on Thanksgiving? They thank those guys. I'm gonna sit in my house and boo them. Boo! One of you guys turned off the Tony Dungy, Rondae Barber talk. Boo! That was like literally the only thing I was interested in. I wasn't even going to be interested in that going into it because I forgot who even was in the Hall of Fame. But that's the one moment that stood out to me outside of the game itself. I know we're pretty much at time, so I won't have anything else. I was going to, I did have one other thing real quick. My high tempo that I got way off track with today was that ESPN now is getting into the gambling side of things, where they struck some deal with a gambling company where they're going to be able to take, you're going to be able to do ESPN bets and bet directly on ESPN, which I think is a huge conflict of interest. So,
yeah,
it's insane to me, but we'll probably have more on that next week. I think that was kind of like a breaking story from today. I know you had some stuff you want to talk about if you want to go ahead and wrap up the show.
Yeah, I mean, locally, we're getting into the swing of things. We're starting our heat acclimation for fall camp, and my tour of double duty has begun. We with first and second grade flags starting to install the offense, and it just very, very, very nice to see that throughout the program, the consistent schemes are being taught. And I like the numbers that we're having in our youth program that I'm hoping is we're going to reap the benefits of that over the next couple of years. So just nice to see from top to bottom back home and seeing things still being done the right way.
Yeah, I know. I meant to ask you last week about the high school coming to the start, but then you didn't bring it up, so I forgot about it.
Yeah, it's honestly creeping up so quick because I feel like it's been a different type of summer because I haven't had to spend as much time because now that I'm back at the district my kids go to, that you know, when I was coaching at the school that I work at, you're looking at an extra hour or so each time you'd have to go to practice till you factor in the drive time. And now it's literally 2 minutes from my house. So I mean, it just being able to be at the field that much faster and having more family time has been important. And not to mention with the flag that my son's finally getting in the pipeline and my nephew's playing. So to be able to coach my family, you know, that's been really important and to see them starting their football journeys.
Yeah, very cool. Good luck with camp and everything. Hopefully weather holds out good. We had some major storms. It was insane. My drive back yesterday. But once again, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for the downloads. I didn't even talk about the women's team losing. Maybe I'll leave that off next week. Or I'll just put it on the pre-show maybe next week. But if there's anything you want us to hit on, let us know. I feel like there's a lot happening in college football this summer that's very important. But we'll be getting back into the NFL stuff too. So tell your friends, and we will see you next week.